fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 15th of June. Tuesday, the 15th of June. I keep saying the 14th because I got the calendar here in front of me, not properly set up, but now it is. Proper tip of the day is to train with your team. With what's coming at us, training with your team is a very good thing. And we have patient Wayne in the green room, left a held over from last hour, Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have joining us now my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff's website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. He has 6 books listed for sale at Amazon. 3 he authored, 3 more he co-authored. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, the interview you did with Mike Adams has taken off like gangbusters, and I've been encouraging people to watch it and listen to it. You were able to do TV with Mike, which we can't do with public broadcasting, at least not yet. We hope to be able to do that sometime in the future. And what feedback have you got from that interview you did with Mike, if any?
Oh, a lot. A lot of emails, a lot of comments on my website. There's a lot of discussions going on. You know, people for some reason got very interested in that interview. So,
well, you went into some extraordinary detail, and I just got a note from Steve Van Noon. He may join us the second hour, and I hope he can. Well, that's good. That's positive, Jeff, that you're getting that feedback. That's a good thing. I assume there are some negative comments mixed in with it, or were there?
Well, yeah, you know, the communists do track me, and they try to come on the site and on the website and say things to be disruptive. Yeah, there's some of that, yes.
And do they attack the message, or do they attack the messenger, or do they do both?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they do. They do both. I have I also have a guy, a Russian guy, that has been trying to discuss things. He says he's an Orthodox Christian, and he tries to educate people into not hating Russia. But he's made some very pro-regime comments and statements about NATO wanting to commit aggression against Russia, which is, of course, and then comparing NATO to, you know, the present time, 1941 to 45, which I kind of went after him for. Because, you know, I sort of went over what the order of battle in NATO was, how really weak NATO is, and NATO cannot commit, you know, military aggression the way Hitler did. You know, it's just not, you know, the French army isn't really capable of fighting the Russians, you know, on the ground for two more years. They have to reform their army before they can do that. The Germans, their tanks don't even work. They've put their tank battalion on the list of things that don't work. Their U-boats haven't been able to function properly. I don't know what's wrong with the way they spend their money, but, you know, and so it's Poland and the Baltic States and the 82nd Airborne that they got to be afraid of, you know, or the 101st, whichever one is rotating out of Europe at this time. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of crazy for the Russians to say, you know, for a Russian to say, you know, NATO's threatening us. It's ridiculous. It's the other way around.
Well, do you have an opinion if this Russian Christian is making these statements out of ignorance or doing it to be disruptive?
I don't know. I make a point that I'm anti-communist. I'm not anti-Russian. I'm not anti-Chinese, you know. That's an important point to make, because our greatest ally could be the Russian people, could be the Chinese people. And because we're in an ideological war. We've got communists right here. We've got right. Communists in our own government. So it's an ideological struggle. And of course, they've had intensive propaganda. I tried to get him to talk about, you know, I've tried to get him to acknowledge that the, you know, since 2014, the Russian government engaged in a very heavy anti-American propaganda, maligning our government, saying that we were threatening them, you know, after their annexation of Crimea. And, it's interesting discussions take place. Some people outright challenge him and don't believe that he's who he says he is. And I allow those kind of discussions to take place so people can read and decide for themselves.
Right, right. Well, it does sound interesting. And this has become your life, hasn't it, sir?
Oh yeah, well, you know, this is my full-time job. The kind of research and articles I'm writing now I couldn't have written before, you know, when I was working full-time. You know, I've got more time to do research and so on.
Well, I know that you have people can read your articles at no charge, but there is a way to subscribe also. Tell people how they can do that.
Yeah, there's a subscription button on every article. I use PayPal because it's easier, and that helps keep me going, because I this is my job, and you know I need to make a living, and so it is helpful to for me. So because there's a lot I've been trying to raise money to actually set up a think tank in which I can pool together. I know some very brilliant researchers, and there's things we need to figure out, which is, you know, what the Chinese have been up to at Emory and the CDC. You know, has our medical system been infiltrated and compromised? What kind of research we could do in terms of what are the Russians and Chinese up to? How much have they been coordinating, and is war coming? You know, which the indications are, we've never seen. If you look at the defector literature, it's very prophetic. You know, you look at Viktor Suvorov, for example, in his 1987 book, Spetsnaz, that's the defector Vladimir Rezin, that's his pen name. He says that before World War III, there will be a rapidly spreading viral pandemic. And that's, those are the kind of things you would expect to see. Well, there's,
right,
you can
right.
tick off a number of markers now in that book that we have seen now. And then you go to other Soviet literature, even the Soviet military literature, where they say the number one thing is to prepare the people, you know, teach them who the enemy is, teach them why you're going to war before a war begins. Well, both China and Russia, their governments have been doing this. You know, Russia since about 2014, China since the pandemic began. So it's like these are markers. And all I can say is I'm following them. And now you have people in the government who are saying, you know, within the government, within the military, people are afraid that war is coming and that certain things are being done, like what's happened in the State Department with the with Russia and the consular services, and not advising Americans without visas to go home, you know, by the 15th of June. And things like the Russians telling their foreign undocumented workers that they need badly because of their labor shortage to go home by June 15th. There's something about this date. Well, it's funny. June 15th is today. Tomorrow, Putin meets with Biden. So this is there's a decisive moment here diplomatically going on.
Absolutely. Well, this, we've known about this June 15th date for several weeks, and today is the day. Well, similar flags were certainly in place in 1939, 1940, as to the beginning of World War II, weren't they?
Yes. Well, you know, wars don't just pop up. I mean, you have a lot of indications that war is coming. I mean, they knew, the Americans that were following closely events, and Americans in the government and in the military knew that war with Japan was coming. They just didn't know that Pearl Harbor was going to be hit, and they didn't know exactly how the war would play out. A lot of American officials thought the Japanese were weak and we would trounce them rather easily. Those were mistaken notions. The same thing in Europe in World War II. You know, there was a war scare in 1938 when Hitler was threatening to march on Czechoslovakia. But that they had the peace meetings, you know, they had Munich, and it didn't happen. The war didn't happen that year. It happened the next year over Poland. And, you know, people knew there was quite a buildup. There was quite a bunch of diplomatic activity in advance. Right now, the diplomatic activity has been going on. I think what a lot of people don't realize is that a process has been initiated in Washington, in Wall Street, to pull back from China, to disengage our economy, first starting with our financial economy. On August 2nd, we are going to have companies listed on Wall Street, Chinese companies. There's 27 of them the Pentagon has named. And on the 2nd, you won't be able to buy their stock anymore. And a year later, you won't be able to sell their stock anymore. And I think the White House has tried to take some of those companies off the list. I don't know how that's working, but it basically means that the Pentagon and the State Department, Treasury Department, can list any Chinese company on our stock exchanges that this could be applied to, this rule. And it's going to make money fly out of Chinese companies, because nobody's going to want to invest in a company in a year from now, you won't be able to sell the stock. It's that simple. People believe that those companies, nobody wants to get their money frozen in a Chinese stock. So that's going to begin to decouple us from China financially. And of course, the goal is to eventually, it's going to affect our trade. And of course, everything's made in China, you know, that's not made in India, Indonesia, and the Philippines, and so on, a few other countries in Vietnam. And the thing, the problem is that with so much made in China, our supply chain is affected. You go into a furniture store now, and the last couch with the ugly pillows is the only one that hasn't been bought, you know.
Right.
I'm explaining an actual experience. And then they'll tell you, well, we're not, you know, if they get their furniture from China, well, we can't get anything for you for a year. You're going to have to wait a year. Well, I'm telling the audience, you aren't getting anything in a year either. You know, I had the experience of, you know, I was working on my three season room by putting down five layers of polyurethane, and I needed to get furniture for it. And on April 5th, we ordered furniture, which was supposed to come by the 30th. It didn't come. We get into June. What happened to it? We don't know. And can we order it? No, you can't even order it. And of course, it was made in China. You can't even order it. And it's like, okay, what's the explanation? You know, what is the explanation here? Where's all this? What's going on? There's 40 ships backed up at every berth on the West Coast. 40 ships. Okay, it's a four-week delay. What do you mean, never? Why is there why are things so backed up? What's really going on? And you've got cars. You know, they can't, you know, our car manufacturers are going to run out of cars because the chips aren't arriving, right?
Right.
And, you know, RV companies are going out of business because certain parts they need to manufacture their vehicles are coming. So this is supply chain, and it's happening all across the economy. It's happening. It's going to be happening to tractors, farm equipment. This is a very scary moment. We have to be, you know, as a country, we're going to have to make these things ourselves, because I believe the Chinese are retaliating on us, and they know they've calculated, okay, the Americans need these things. We're going to now cut them off. I think that's going on. So we're in an economic war, and this administration isn't behaving like it, except that now they're scared of war with China. They know something's going on, and this is why Putin's, you know, we're meeting with Putin because, after all, General Milley on the 26th said, you know, we've got Russia and China are both pure enemies at the same time. We've got to have diplomacy to stop a war. I mean, this is literally what Milley said. And this is like saying, look, I mean, if you read the subtext, Milley's saying we can't win a war against these two countries at the same time. We better use some diplomacy. We better play the Russia card. This is what they're trying to do by having the meeting. They're trying to play the Russia card, but it's already failed because there's not even going to be a joint press conference tomorrow after the summit meeting.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to have separate. They've announced that Putin will have his talk to the press and Biden will have his talk to the press. So there's not going to even be a joint press conference. So that's really telling. That means that they don't want to even be seen together after this. And so the Russians, this is a very clear signal that what Putin is going to say is he's going to say, look, we're tired of the Americans. We don't like the dollar anymore being the reserve currency. We're taking the Chinese side in this. And he's probably going to say all you other countries, you know, need to do that too.
Amazing. Amazing. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
It's It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 15th of June. This hour is sponsored by the Rocket Stove Company and a wood-burning stove that has no smoke. Seriously, a wood-burning stove that has no smoke. I'm the executive vice president of the company. It is a completely unique product. Check it out at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We're visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. He has 6 books for sale at Amazon, 3 he authored, and 3 more he co-authored. Well, Jeff, your notoriety, your popularity, public attention to you seems to be on the upswing, doesn't it, sir?
Yeah, it does, unfortunately, because if it resonates with people are seeing what's happening. We're at a very dangerous moment, and I suppose it wouldn't be capturing that attention if it wasn't, what's going on.
I had lunch in the last 2 weeks with a multimillionaire, and prior to lunch, I showed him my place and my backup power that I've got, which is a combination of hydroelectric and nickel iron alkaline batteries, which can no longer be bought, at least not the real ones. And he says, John, what would it take for me to do that? And I said, well, I'm sorry, but it can't be done. We had these batteries for sale, and now they're gone. And point being, Jeff, procrastination when it comes to preparedness can end up with not getting what you want, couldn't it, sir?
Yes, it's very true. Some very hard times could be coming. And because the supply chain is really being damaged, there are things that increasingly that we're not going to be able to have available.
That's very true. And I talk about procrastinators a lot. I know that you have some interest in preparedness, given the knowledge that you have. Leon Green is one of the most prepared men I've ever met, quite frankly. And many people in our audience are preppers to a greater or lesser extent, and many others just finding out about Jeff Nyquist and Leon Green and John Moore are just getting started. So we have people at all levels of preparedness, Jeff, don't we, sir?
Yes, we do. We have people at all levels. You know, to survive a major national emergency, a war emergency now under present conditions, is could be very difficult because we could be without electricity either for periods of weeks or even months. There could be shortages of food. There could be problems with the water system. You know, like where I am, we're on a well, which is a good thing. If you're on public water, if you're in a major city, you're going to need to store water in case something happens, especially with electricity. If you don't have a hand pump or something and you don't have your own well. So it's, you know, all these things, you know, it's going to be important for people to know who their neighbors are and to be able to communicate and work with others. And with food shortages and whatever's coming down the pike, you know, we've got a drought in the western United States, very serious one in California. All of North America is experiencing less than normal rainfall at the moment. Up in the upper Midwest, there was a worry that there wouldn't be any hay. But luckily, there was enough rain at the last minute where it is developing. But people were running around buying extra hay from last year's crop, the ones that were seeing ahead. So, you know, those who are seeing ahead are buying ahead. And there are going to be shortages of certain things.
That's right. Well, buying ahead now is just a smart thing to do, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a smart thing to do because we don't know why there's a diplomatic breakdown, an economic breakdown happening between Russia and China and the U.S. and a diplomatic, certain indications of diplomatic trouble between Russia and the United States and between NATO and Russia, a real concern that war will develop over what is, you know, this conflict in eastern Ukraine.
Eastern Ukraine is still an issue, isn't it, sir?
It is very much. And the Russians are making it an issue. And you have these Russian rotating deployments and trainings. There's going to be a very large Russian military exercise in September. And there is concerns that this exercise could be cover for a launching a war. And of course, with China, war could happen at almost any time. The concern is with this date of June 15th is that war is possible at any time from this point on, because it's this, you know, the ground is dry in Eastern Europe. The weather is you know, the monsoon season is over in certain places in the Far East.
Hold that thought. We got a break. We got a caller on hold. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Fix bayonets.
Blame Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 15th of June. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. We focus a lot on COVID, and my COVID-19 section has 7 panels, I believe it is, dozens of articles and videos. We like to focus on the work of Dr. Mike Yaden, former vice president, director of research at Pfizer. Impeccable credentials. He says the COVID shot will be a depopulation, and already is, a depopulation method. Need to check out the articles and videos there with Dr. Yaden. We're getting caught up on energy cleaner back orders. It's been a challenge, as we've been hearing. The computer chips are difficult to get your hands on, but we're meeting the challenge. And if you have arthritis pain, we can help. We can help with an energy cleaner. That's what we do. You want to sleep as good as a small child overnight like I do? Simple. Get yourself an energy cleaner. $285, shipping included to American zip codes. And a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can place your order using PayPal at my website. You can call my toll-free hotline 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. This is a Tuesday Morning Roundtable visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. You can subscribe to his articles, which I urge you to do. And Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Gentlemen, our first caller is Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John, Jeff, and Leon. Hi. Jeff, you've before I mention something I wanted to say about Putin, you've several times mentioned the seasonal weather and conditions being conducive for ground warfare. And I couldn't help but be reminded of the song Springtime for Hitler in Germany from the Broadway musical The Producers. Someone could easily write a spoof version of that and update it to Springtime for Putin and Russia. So, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Well, yes, Springtime for Putin and G, because it's actually Russia and China here. We don't know. I mean, right now, some of the conventional thinking is that Russia's going to go after Ukraine and China's going to go after Taiwan. That's kind of what
right.
a lot of people are afraid is going to happen here.
Right. And that's a two far-flung, impossible fronts, you know. But I still think whatever happens, I think will happen quickly because of the fragility of everybody's interdependent infrastructures at this point. What I wanted to mention about Putin is a number of months ago, it might have been when Biden first got into the White House, and he made some bellicose remarks about Russia, and people were waiting to see what Putin said in return. And Putin said that he wished for President Biden health. I wish you health. He is very terse and, a veiled well-wishing, but as if to say, you're not healthy. You know, he knows he's dealing with a senile person and incompetent. And, I can't even begin to imagine how that's going to color any sort of interactions they would have, you know, in the next few days.
Yeah, he's not treating him as a full equal. And I guess we're going to see why they're not. I mean, it's a bit frosty when they don't have a joint press conference afterwards, because there's no chummy moment to display any kind of unity. And the idea of, you know, that the disagreements between them are so strong that they can't have a joint press conference because they would end up maybe arguing.
I don't think Putin would be foolish enough to fall into that trap. Just as he was very staid and careful in his wording when he wished Biden help. I mean, from what I hear, Biden is doddering and stumbling all over the place over there. He mixed up Libya and Syria three times. He was out wandering around, and some British member of the press asked how things were. How things were going at his meetings here in Cornwall, and his wife had to rush over and, you know, take him by the arm firmly and usher him away, much like a nurse would do with a, you know, nursing home patient or something. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like he's really failing. And, you know, it's just incongruous to think that he would, you know, even attempt to compete with Putin intellectually on about anything at this point.
No, it wouldn't. You wouldn't think that he would be able to. But of course, they're not going to ever have a chance to interact in front of the press together. So
right.
it'll be interesting to see what Putin says. I mean, everybody's kind of curious how this meeting's going to go. My fear is that, you know, in the defector literature, Anatoly Golitsyn talked about one clenched fist, this moment where Russia and China would suddenly appear with much greater preponderance of military power when the West was unprepared, and that they would exploit this diplomatically to basically strike terror into certain nations to get them to decouple from the dollar from the U.S., how they could use it against America's position in the economy, to unravel America's, you know, financial position, you know, in an economic war. And it seems to me that this is really what they're playing at. The week before last, Russia got rid of all dollars from its sovereign fund, $186 billion. That's a very unusual move, because if you have a sovereign fund and the dollar is the reserve currency, you need dollars. And by getting rid of it, they're saying there's no future in the dollar. We don't need these anymore. That is extraordinary.
Right. Well, and I would think that they can have greater gains and get more of what they want by doing things, you know, at the psychosocial, you know, demoralization level, economic warfare or something like that. I mean, even a badly crippled U.S., like if they were trying to repel, you know, fight a military attack, something roughly akin to a mutually assured destruction could still be achieved if they, you know, they said, look, you know, if you physically attack us or if you bomb us, we still have some submarines out there and some SLBMs can reach far enough to incinerate, you know, Beijing, Shanghai, Moscow, take your pick. You know, so it seems like mutually assured destruction isn't totally gone. It's not what it was, but,
The problem with that is that when you see something like the Russians asking their foreign workers, their Central Asian workers, to leave the country, you know, because they allow them in, they're undocumented technically, but they know they're there. When they're telling them to go home, the only real explanation I found in talking with other people on this subject who know is that, look, if you're going to put your population underground, because Moscow, for example, all Russia's major cities have blast and fallout shelter protection for the entire population. And the big problem is, if you're going to have 10 million people like in Moscow going into blast shelters for 13 to 18 days, you don't want them down there with foreign workers. That could be morale problem, right? They're sharing the food and water together with each other. No, that might be a social problem. So you ask those workers to go home. So it's as if they're, and people don't understand. Look, in the United, this was true in 1990. I don't know what the U.S. hardening has been since then, but the Soviet Union had 5,000 hardened targets, each which in order to guarantee the destruction, and hardening means it's underground. And by the way, they have many positions now on deep underground that our missiles can't even reach. Our tunneling missiles can't reach them. And these targets that they have, these hardened targets, it would take 3 of our warheads to guarantee destruction of each of these targets. That would mean you would need 15,000 hydrogen bombs to destroy all the hardened military targets in Russia. Well, we don't even have 2,000 strategic nuclear weapons now. See? So just by the fact now, how many hardened targets? Peter Pry wrote the book on this, Nuclear Wars, Exchanges, and Outcomes. How many hardened targets at that time did we have? 3, according to Pry, maybe 4. Okay, so that's 5,000 hardened targets, and you think, well, we have mutual assured destruction. No, we don't. Now we can destroy, divide by 3. If we have, you know, if the United States has 1,800 strategic warheads, we can destroy 600 of those 5,000 targets. They can destroy every one of ours. See, so that's not mutual assured destruction. People don't understand. You know, it's just like you're wearing body armor and you have a pistol and I'm not. You know, there's a big difference there. That's not an equal situation, even though we both might have the same caliber pistol.
Right. You talk about the people being underground. I picture what you might see in movies if you see thousands of sewer rats surging around in a sewer. It's like, it's hard enough to put up with other human beings in an above-the-ground posh apartment complex or hotel, or a college dormitory, let alone in a situation like that. I picture the humans all tearing each other apart. If a missile were incoming, I once said to Art Bell that I'd rather signal for a fair catch and go down on one knee and be right at the epicenter of ground zero than having to live in one of these underground tunnel things.
Yeah, especially the Bible. If you're claustrophobic, yeah. I mean, they have pretty vast spaces under Moscow, but if you put the entire population into them, what is the person to space ratio? I don't know. You know, that's an interesting question. Leon Gur, you know, was the guy that was the expert on especially Moscow's underground systems, and he had extensive works on that. But it's quite impressive what they've got. You know, every major underground parking structure in the Moscow metro are connected to it.
Americans can't get past, through the Friday after Thanksgiving shopping with each other without tearing each other's eyeballs out over toys. So I'm thinking they don't have the discipline to survive in a situation like that. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well,
thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thank you for the call, Glenn. We appreciate it. Good comments there. Our next caller is Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, John and Leon and Jeff. The last conversation there brought up a couple of questions for me, Jeff. Even if you could get your entire population underground, 13 million people, and the city itself was hit by a nuke or two or three of any of these larger cities, there's nothing left for that millions of people to come out to. You know what I mean? They're not. You're going to be dealing with radioactivity and all kinds of other problems, and so in a sense, you have still achieved mutual destruction. Yes.
No, you have to look at outside of every major city in Russia, they have regiments of troops that have a very heavy machinery for clearing the rubble from the people. The radiation is gone in 13 to 18 days. There's no radiation anymore. Long-term fallout is from hydrogen bombs is extremely minor. You know, you've already, Fukushima has already put more radiation, long-term radiation into the earth than many full-blown hydrogen bomb wars. A full-blown hydrogen bomb war at the height of the Cold War, when you're exploding, 50,000-60,000 strategic weapons. People don't seem to understand there's a difference between long-term and short-term fallout. The other thing is that the Russians, with their military superiority, you see, once you have had a nuclear exchange where you've won the exchange, where you have nuclear weapons left and the other guy has lost his nuclear weapons in the exchange, because this is what nuclear weapons are not focused on cities anyway. Because why would you bomb Moscow when you've got all these Russian missiles that could be striking American cities? You know, you could bomb Moscow, but what, you're going to waste all your bombs hitting Moscow, and then the Russians are going to have weapons left. And then the Russians are going to point them at your cities and your surviving army and people and whatever's left and say, you better surrender, we're coming after you now. And then you have a situation where the other side dictates to the side that lost the exchange. What you have is, yeah, the people can come out, and they've stored, not only do they have the equipment to clear the rubble over the blast and fallout shelters, they also have emergency systems for setting up tents and getting people ready. But in some of the strategic literature, it's indicated that the Russians would dictate to certain European countries, you're going to now house our people. Now we're going to be moving into some of your cities. And of course, if a war reached that point, biological weapons would be used that would depopulate large areas of adjoining countries. And of course, we don't know what countries they would depopulate or how they would do it, but it is been noted, and I think it was the late Joe Douglas that referred to this in one of his books, that Russia would be moving into Europe, moving into European cities, renaming them like they did at Kaliningrad enclave. That enclave, that used to be the city of Königsberg, you know, the German city. It's a Russian city now. They would just simply make these cities Russian cities and move many European, surviving European populations into Russia, slave labor to pick through the rubble and rebuild. So no, if you win, You know, you look what happened at the end of World War II. Yeah, Russia was devastated. Russia lost, you know, between 27 and 35 million people, but they won the war. And, you know, many of their cities were absolutely in rubble, but they won the war and they were dictating the peace. And so that's all that matters to them. And you could say a similar thing for the Chinese. We don't really understand this strategic literature because we live in a soft consumer society, but they've thought all these things through very carefully.
All right.
That's interesting. Well, I have one more question there, Jeff. I'm probably right up against the break here, though, aren't I, John?
You are. Hold on to the break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. There are more here. on Tuesday the 15th. You got a follow-up question here, Kyle? Hello, Kyle. Kyle, you got a follow-up question?
Yes, I do. I'm here, John. I'm talking. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. I hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Last time I talked to you, you said that you figured that, you know, Putin and or the Chinese and the Russians are on the same thought process and side here. And I had just kind of a follow-up question on that. I've had some dealings with some Oriental-type people, a couple of them being Chinese, and I knew a friend of mine was married to a Chinese lady, and I got to know her pretty well. And anyway, she said to me that deception, I mean, I'll never forget this statement, deception is a way of life in China. And the Russians have got to know that, that eventually Russia and China are going to be at war. There can only be one major superpower that will rule everything. And I'm thinking that surely Russia knows that if they allow China to conquer the most of the rest of, like the United States, what an incredible jewel that would be if they could occupy the United States in any way, shape, or form. And if that happens, the strength of China would be doubled. And then that puts Russia into a corner in the sense that there's no possible way they're going to end up surviving against the China that powerful. And so I'm curious as to how you think the Russians perceive this then.
Well, that's an interesting question, but there's a lot of evidence that the Russians are going to create a power center around Europe. So there's more people in Europe than in North America. I mean, if they're able to dominate the world, they've divided the world up. You know, China is going to get the Pacific Asia region and the lower 48 states. Russia gets Europe, Alaska, Canada. Who's getting a better deal there? Especially since the Chinese are merely, you know, their plan is, according to General Chiao Chen, is to eliminate most of the American population and to move, you know, hundreds of millions of Chinese into the lower 48 states so they can feed themselves. Is China really coming out ahead? China's taking on an enormous task. And nobody in modern times has tried something like this. If I'm Russia, I'm thinking I'm getting a better deal.
We have a break. We got Steve Benoit for a few minutes. So we'll focus on Steve because we only got him for 15 minutes. We'll be back from the break. Everybody hold on.
Wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease Off, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.